American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town, like a cancer that's silently spreading. There's an unspoken fear we're on our way down. We must take America back, Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good evening and welcome to the National Intel Report. I'm your host, Steve Elkins, and today's date is July 3rd, 2023. I have some announcements to make. First of all, tonight, Harley Schlanger will not be with us. He contacted me late, and evidently he had an offer to fly to Switzerland to do a lecture, a conference. And, of course, you can't pass up something like that. So Harley's not going to be with us. He will be rescheduled next Monday for the first hour. And actually, I think it's a win-win situation for us, because whatever he's talking about in Switzerland surely will be something that we can learn from next Monday. So next Monday, Harley Schlanger, first hour. And we'll just have to make up the time. Not a problem. I had a lot of questions here for him. I am not going to do a complete show tonight. Apologies, but I've been very, very ill with the chemotherapy. To a point, Wednesday was my second treatment for the IV therapy of chemo. And probably within an hour or so of having that IV chemo, thank God I don't drive. I have to drive. You know, my wife drives me to the appointments. But I started getting diplopia, double vision, and all kinds of other little things started getting tacked on, and it got worse and worse and worse. And so the severity of my chemotherapy, which I was told would probably be at chemo session 3 or 4, which is only doing 4 sessions anyway, it arrived much too early, to a point where I was very sick from Wednesday on, and did not actually get to go forward with the pill form of the chemo after fulfilling the IV therapy portion of that on Wednesday. So typically you do the IV on Wednesday, and then Thursday you start your pill forms. I couldn't do so. I was so sick. I could not do it. They had me thinking next couple of days after that first initial, the second treatment, this is not going to work for me. If this is this bad on the second treatment, it's only going to get worse from treatment three and four. This is not going to work for me. Especially since this is maintenance. This is maintenance because they cut out my cancer. My cancer is gone. I am cancer-free. And this is just maintenance, just in the event maybe one little cell got away from us all. But I think we pretty much got it with the first two. So I am. I called my oncologist. We spoke this morning for in length. And nice guy. He agreeing with me that the side effects, the symptoms coming on, the bad stuff coming on this early is not a good sign. And agreed with me wholeheartedly to stop the IV sessions. So I am stopping IV chemotherapy. You know, let this stuff wash out. Wash out. I kid you not. It is in everything. It's in your skin. It's in your urine. It's in everything. You can smell it. And I'm going to let this stuff wash out. I'm done with the IV chemotherapy, and wife and I are both in agreement. We're done. We're done. Tried it. Didn't work for me. And we'll just have to take it as it comes. I, you know, do some checks here and there, CTs, blood work every once in a while, and to make sure that nothing ever came back. But I'm done with the IV chemotherapy. So for your entertainment tonight, I've pulled, since it's getting so dang hot out here in Florida, and it's probably hot everywhere else also, I thought it might be interesting to revisit the interview I did with Kurt Stranger back in January 30th of 2023. And he's a very smart guy, very sharp guy. And the 2 hours is about global warming fraud. And he brings out some great information. So I thought it might be nice to revisit that. So I'm going to have Julie play that in a second here. By the way, I know tomorrow is some kind of holiday. It's it's the 4th. It's an eating holiday. That's what I call it now. It's an eating holiday. My flag is still out front. It's still inverted. A nation in distress. If by happens to be that somebody walks up to you and says, you know, it's out of courtesy, Happy Fourth. You could say, yeah, well, thank you. Repeat it back, Happy Fourth. Or you may do what I do and say, respond in saying, for what rights and freedoms that remain. I like that. For what rights and freedoms that remain. Because every 4th of July, we're losing more and more ground, no doubt about it. So enjoy the eating holiday tomorrow. I will not be celebrating it. I will, on the other hand, be attending the premiere of the movie Sound of Freedom. And if you... you should attend this movie. It's about child trafficking. I don't know if it implicates Hollywood. I don't know if it implicates even lays groundwork for Epstein's Island. I would assume those are two areas I would look at really closely for pedophilia and child trafficking. But I'm not sure if it does. But it is on tomorrow, starting on limited screens for a couple days. I'm sure they don't want people to really watch this. It's going to go on the screens, so watch it as fast as you can because it's probably going to come off in probably a week. It'll be history in the dustbin. This is something they really don't want you to pay attention to, child trafficking. If you don't have tickets, you can get free tickets. Go to angel.com for free tickets. If you want to support the movie, I bought tickets. We're going to the matinee tomorrow, and I'm going to psych up and rest up for that and definitely catch the flick. So I will give you a review of what I found, or what I thought of the movie, on the next show of Off the Beaten Path on Sunday. So again, Harley Schlanger will be back next Monday for the first hour. And tonight I'm bowing out because of still not feeling well. This chemo stuff is still moving through me. But I will be back next Sunday, Off the Beaten Path, so check me out then. Julie, go ahead and run that show. And everybody, have a safe 4th. Take care.
Believes in climate change more than me. Maybe you got the right guy after all. Who knows?
But no, well, I think so.
That you know, no one that I even know believes in climate change more than me. You know, I believe in climate change so much more than most people. Al Gore is a climate change denier compared to me.
Well, yeah, they mentioned him. And of course, he's one of the driving forces behind this fraud itself, has profited making millions and millions of dollars. Of course, the hypocrisy coming from Al Gore, which is interesting, is that he, I think he bought seaside coastal property in South Carolina. I believe it's the Outer Banks, or maybe it's North Carolina or South Carolina. But, you know, when a guy tells you that the ice caps are melting and the water is rising and we're all going to drown because the sea level is rising, but then he buys property, sea coastal property here in the areas that are supposed to be flooded, it doesn't quite make sense, the hypocrisy from Al Gore. I've actually always been baffled of how people like Al Gore and Bill Gates, non-scientists who have been granted honorary degrees in science and medicine. I am baffled why people believe people without the degrees. Can you explain that one to me?
Money. And it's pure and simple. These folks you just mentioned, Bill Gates, obviously the curator of knowledge. He actually paid $319 million. Look it up. To media across the nation and around the world, but specifically NPR got $25 million just as a gift. But what do you get for that gift? Well, there's always a price. The price is don't push anything that would harm my agenda. And that is how they curate knowledge. They have to delete some. And that money buys that, and that buys cover because they're not going to report on it. You see, the media is not going to go and stooge on, say, for example, even the Biden administration. We've been overlooking him forever. I mean, you can't see anything because there's nothing to see. That's how they make it. But then they focus on Trump, of course. The curator of science insofar as climate change is none other than Al Gore. He doesn't have solar panels on his house. What kind of hypocrite is this guy? He flies around in G4.
And he flies a big giant private jet. And he flies a big, giant private jet to all over the planet here. And his carbon footprint, my God, it must be 100 times of what mine is, and for some reason nobody seems to call that out.
Yeah. His carbon footprint is offset by his massive contribution to saving the Earth. So those are called carbon credits.
Oh.
So if your carbon credits, which you can buy, outweigh your carbon footprint, you can justify that in your mind because they need me. Jim or Kerry, ex-Governor Secretary Kerry, has been going around saying, well, I have to fly places because if I don't show up, the world could die. I mean, the oceans are boiling right now as it is, according to Al Gore. Which is nonsense,
right?
I mean,
exactly.
It was such hyperbole. I was actually pitying him for sounding so stupid and deluded. With this whole thing bases on a war on carbon dioxide. Now think about it just for a moment. CO2 is a colorless, odorless, tasteless gas that is necessary for all living things, all plants. The producers must have carbon dioxide to make photosynthesis, the sun and water. Without it, we're done. Now, the atmosphere is trace. I ask this question all over the world, literally. I've asked it thousands of times to audiences, to individuals in the street, you know, kind of like an ongoing experiment. How much carbon dioxide is in the atmosphere, I ask? And most people haven't got a clue. Well, I don't know, a lot, too much. You know, if I hear that a lot, too much. Well, how much is too much? Well, how much do we have? I say, well, it's 0.038%. That's one out of 2,500.
Right.
So one, say I have a pile of pennies or silver dollars, a big bucket of silver dollars, probably weighs about 70 pounds, silver dollars, let's just say a thousand of them. One of those, well, I mean 2,500 of those silver dollars, one of those would represent carbon dioxide if that was all of our atmosphere, of which we only contribute 4 cents to that dollar.
Exactly.
That is thermodynamic nonsense to think that 4 cents is the thermostat driving the climate using carbon dioxide, which is not even the chief and main greenhouse gas. Water vapor is the world's most abundant, by far, greenhouse gas that actually holds heat overnight. Carbon dioxide holds heat for seconds. That's why you could sleep outside in Hawaii. When I go to Hawaii, I like to look at the stars and sleep outside. And guess what? The warm water vapor holds the heat because 95% of the world's greenhouse gas is water vapor. 5% of the world's greenhouse gas is carbon dioxide. Methane is so trace, it's measured in parts per billion, so they don't even bother counting it. But yet, you better eat bugs and stop drinking milk and be, you know, get lactose intolerant and everything else.
Right.
See how nonsensical this is? You will eat bugs and be happy, is what they're basically saying. They want socialists. They want to destroy society without fossil fuels, we could not be even talking on the phone right now.
Right.
It is the basis for every rock, every pebble, every stone, every piece of paint came to this building I'm in through a truck. And people drove there in their vehicles. And they had trucks and they had all this machinery mixing it up and everything else. Fossil fuels. It makes society work. They want to go to war with it and want to control us with it using these carbon credits. With this whole thing, it's an agenda that goes so far that these curators of knowledge have actually blanketed the media with deception, and they blanket our minds. So they actually basically don't tell us not even how to think anymore. They tell us what to think.
Yeah.
And we always are programmed to say, well, we have peer-reviewed. You know, I read some peer-reviewed stuff, and it was nonsense. Nonsense. That's peer review. So who's peer reviewing, first of all?
Right.
You know, there was a peer review paper done. And it was done by, you might have heard the name.
Who's fact checking the fact checkers? You know, I always just say, who's fact checking? And who are these fact checkers anyway? What are their qualifications to be a fact checker, first of all? And, you know, who's, by the bottom line is, Who is funding the fact checkers? And the objective is what to end result are they looking for here? I'm going to give a quote real quick here, Kurt, and then I'm going to let you go back on to what you're talking about here. But here's a quote that I found a couple days ago. The whole global warming crisis was invented as a way to control you because their lie of peak energy was a bold lie. And I'm going back to the year of Jimmy Carter. We talked about peak oil. I remember this. Peak oil. We were all convinced at the time. We were told, if you believe in government, believe in the president at the time, that we were so close to the end of oil, which is so far from the truth. And so the oil companies started raising their prices. And then, of course, I don't know whatever happened to the Honda CRX, because I remember there was a time when we had an actual Honda CRX, small little compact car that got 67 miles per gallon. And I thought we were on this path with peak oil. Okay, now we're going to get more miles per gallon. And for some reason, they pitched this little thing, and then they pitched an electric car, and then they both were phased out and died very, very fast. So I knew this wasn't truth. So I'll let you take it from there.
You know, it's this whole thing about the fake science. We're at war with CO2. I mean, CO2, like I said, is necessary for all living things. It's not poison. As a matter of fact, traditionally, we look at science, we look at the cooling periods, the warming periods. We have the middle, we had, back in the Middle Ages, we had actually the medieval warming period. We actually had the Roman warming period. Rome was able to go north and conquer, and even, you know, the elephants came down to the Alps because they weren't so frozen up there. It was much more lush. The world was greener when it was warmer, because what happens is when the world warms naturally, it releases a gas. Guess what that gas is? Carbon dioxide. Oceans degas. As a matter of fact, the planet degasses. As a matter of fact, there has been earthquakes. That one earthquake, or not earthquake, a volcano exploding. There's an earthquake involved with that too. But nonetheless, a volcano explodes and emits all this gas. It dwarfs all the little bit that we contribute. It's like we are so focused on methane. Eat Pinot. Do your part. You know, then drive a car. I mean, ride a horse. Go ahead, ride a bike. But for me, it's a choice. And this is the choice. I want to be in the 21st century. And we're not going to succeed in the 21st century unless we have fuel, unless we have some sort of energy. And the best source of energy right now is coal and oil, unless we go nuclear.
That's
right. But see, they're at war with carbon dioxide because, you know, like I said, I've asked all these people, and most people don't even have a clue how much there is.
Right.
But it's a necessary gas. You know, it's vital as the Earth greens. Because, you know, here's the thing, people don't realize this. A lot of greenhouses. Greenhouses are where we grow a lot of crops, and they're contained, so we can release more carbon dioxide, thus getting a quicker crop, all right, with a bigger yield, and using less water because they're not struggling to try to absorb all that scarce carbon dioxide. When there's an abundance of it, they just open up their leaves and absorb. They don't have to lose it through transpiration, which what happens when they're struggling to stay open all the time to try to get that precious elixir of carbon dioxide, which is plant food. The more of it, the better. And by the way, the more of it, the better for everybody. So they're really at war with something that we actually have a carbon dioxide dearth, if you get right down to it. You go back and look at the Volstock ice core samples, and we've had higher levels at various times in history. We had the Roman warming period, the medieval warming period, but then also we had the Grecian ice age. Is one of these called the Little Ice Age. Oh, no, the Mini Ice Age. And then we're coming out of the Little Ice Age. Remember with Valley Forge and all those folks out there fighting the English?
Right.
Well, there they were in one of the coldest times ever in a coming out of an ice age. We're coming out of one. Of course, it's kind of warm, generally speaking. That's climate change. I believe in climate change more than all of your guests put together. Okay, and I know for a fact that it's so real that I would bet on it, but I would say no money goes down on humans causing it. Because humans emit only 4% and contribute only 4% of the world's carbon dioxide, which is trace. Like I say, it's a trace element. It's necessary for life. It's better for everybody and everything. The more of it, the better. But you know what? We can use a lot more. They're going to war with something that's good. It's absurd. And that's why, you know, there's a tree line, because there's not enough carbon dioxide high enough to be able to feed the trees.
Right. Right, right.
And carbon dioxide, by the way, scientifically is heavy. It's a heavier the gases. All this stuff could be verified. I can take a bottle of vinegar and put it in a terrarium, okay, and then pour vinegar in there and creating carbon dioxide. The whole thing fills with carbon dioxide. It's a floating gas of carbon dioxide, like water. You could dip your ladle in there and pull out carbon dioxide and put out candles with it. And that's what I do with my science experiments. Mm-hmm. When I show young people that carbon dioxide is a very heavy gas. It's heavier than water. I mean, it's heavier than oxygen. It's heavier than nitrogen. Nitrogen's kind of like plant fertilizer, and carbon dioxide is plant food. We got plenty of plant, you know, fertilizer, but we need food. And the world's much greener, much better, more lush. And then
then we go through an ice age. And then we come out of that, and we go through a warming period. And those are also done by fluctuations of our distance. Carbon dioxide is not even a thermostat that controls the weather. The main one is water vapor, obviously, but also distance from the sun. We're in the anthropic zone. We're right in the middle of it. If we were a little further in, we'd be too hot. There'd be no all steam and no ice. We go further out toward Mars, and we'd have what? All ice and no steam. Here in the anthropic zone, we need both water, steam, and ice at the same time to have life. But then that's how we get the flow of air and water through the changes, through the changes of seasons. We get the polar ice caps building up during the winter times, and they cool and melt off and break, but they create that cycle of water, which is necessary for everything, including we have a moon. It's amazing. I can go into that, too. But sure. As far as climate's concerned, climate is drawn primarily by the sun, controlled by the sun.
Distance, exactly.
Solar flares. How about solar spots? We're in a solar minimum right now. We're coming out of one. I'm sure we'll be out of that soon. We'll have some more solar flares coming up. But right now, we're really kind of slow. But you can even trace life as it warms on this planet just based on solar flares. And you can see even in the past. You know, they use a lot of things in looking at, like, California's had, oh, it's a drought, it's a drought, it's terrible. It's like, well, we've had water, and we have drought. We don't have much in the middle. Tree rings prove that to us, because you have a series of real thin tree rings and a series of very thick tree rings. And that goes back hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. So you think about that for a second. Tree rings are telling us climate always changes. Of course it changes.
Sure.
But they're making it a religion, and they're getting kids to believe it like it's a fearful thing. If we don't do something, it's existential threat. They're going to these great places like Reeks Museum, and going up to a Monet or something and splattering stuff on, you know, these people are crazy.
Yeah, they are.
That's
also why they recruited somebody like Greta Thunberg, too. You know, I still remember her standing there before the committees and talking about, "You're effing up my planet," you know. Very emotional. And, of course, she's catering to definitely the level of education of her own, which is actually not – she's not an expert. She's not a climatologist. She has – well, she, at the time she did the speech, I think she was 13 years old. My God, they gave her a lot of credit, a lot of science credentials for a little girl. You know, you're messing up my planet here. But, you know, this whole thing they've been selling us on, Kurt, that the Green New Deal is a great thing. We're going to save our planet. It is anything but green, because just especially in your area of the woods there in California,
it's
you guys have blackouts.
As far as money laundering.
Yeah. Well, you have blackouts. You know, it's hot in California, and y'all turn your AC on to cool off a little bit, and then you, for some reason, your power grid goes down. So you're supposed to be able to do your AC and plug your cars in, and everything's supposed to be happy. But the whole thing is it's a not possibility. You have to burn coal. You have to have electric, you know, powered companies, coal burning, in order to produce the electricity you need to power these cars, these stations. And, you know, with a 200-mile radius here of, I get 200 miles out of my car, and then I must, you know, pull over and charge it again. Well, we can forget about long trips to go see grandma. There's nothing green about the Green New Deal. There's nothing there.
Well, back in September, I believe it was, they had the inflation relief bill or whatever it was called.
Right.
It was supposed to relieve us because of inflation, because of how it's gone so high. Well, they caused it, for one. That's kind of amazing. Kind of odd, huh? But secondly, most 300 billion was money set aside for climate change projects.
Right.
Out of the billions of dollars spent, 300 billion was set aside for climate change. Actually, it's over 300 million or billion.
So, yeah, it's probably in that ballpark somewhere. You and I talked earlier. Let's talk. I got a whole bunch of questions here before we can break it down. Again, I appreciate your expertise in the real science, you're just not pulling it out of thin air here. You actually have some science background here, and you can prove your point of what we're talking about tonight, but debunking the man-made global warming. But let's talk about the fact checkers, the cherry picking of the data. Lord Christopher Monckton, I've talked to him before, who was one of the advisors for Margaret Thatcher, talked about the cherry picking of the data, the sea buoys and everything else of cherry picking the data. Let's talk about that for a little bit.
Okay. When you get down to, like, where these stations are, if they're near parking lots, you have all variables. You can even make your data. You can ignore some data. You can exaggerate some other data by putting, say, a little weather station on top of some Arizona parking lot, as opposed to somewhere in the desert. Because the humanity creates their little warm pockets.
Sure.
And so using that data as opposed to actual Earth data, you know, what we do with satellites a lot of times. But then again, you still have to be able to gather it and put it together. And those things are suspicious at best to how they go about getting this information. There's a fellow out there, and I'll just plug him. His name is Tony Heller. Tony Heller is realclimatescience.com. He has something every day that comes on the air or on YouTube or one of those stations. And sometimes it's something really amazing. Sometimes it's something basic. But, you know, he always throws stuff out there. And he's actually done a lot of work with the with over time, looking at these weather stations, looking at this cherry picking that they do, and shows that they blatantly ignore data that contradicts their curator's set approved data. And so once that goes against it, they just ignore it. And that's how science is not to be. You know, science is always supposed to be skeptical. There's never a settled science. Imagine exactly. If they told Galileo, hey, there's no settled science. There's settled science here. Earth is flat, you know, whatever. You know, I've actually gone around the world a few times. And, you know, I've done my observations, and I've actually done my measurements. You know, I use my sextants and so forth to see these things, mm-hmm. measure mm-hmm. angles, watch things. I lived in Australia for 4 years and did a lot of understanding of the solar system down that direction, right, from a different perspective. But my point is that you can actually verify, trust your instincts, even trust your gut. Don't trust what you were told, because you were told for a reason. You were told because you were taught to believe what you were told, and don't question it. This is what a scientist said. It's peer-reviewed. Don't question it. He said so, believe it, that's it. That's what he did with the whole vaccine. It was authoritarian to the core.
Right. Well, a couple of questions I always have for these people that are these tree huggers. And I'm for the planet. I do want to protect my planet as much as I can. I recycle like crazy. I have very little garbage. So I do what I can to actually keep our resources and protect our planet. But when I've actually questioned people who actually believe this pseudoscience, this false science, and have taken the bait, hook, line, and sinker, that the planet really is warming up, I ask them about, what do you think the percentage of the sun that contributes to our daily temperature? Well, you know, have you factored that in, the sun's contribution to our temperatures? Have you factored that in? Have you factored in the volcanoes above ground and underwater volcanoes? Have you factored in deforestation? There, you know, people say, oh, you know, we keep continue on deforesting, taking forests out. Of course, you know, again, you just mentioned that it's plant food. CO2 is plant food. So the plant takes it in, produces oxygen. It's a great thing. We need that.
And it also provides food for us. Without it,
yeah, exactly. But the point is, these people who actually believe this, when you tell them, I'll say, if you truly believe this, and wouldn't you find a solution to the CO2, if you really believe this stuff, wouldn't you think about stop the deforestation, at least pull it back? Wouldn't you think about planting more trees? Maybe how about getting rid of the live Christmas trees every year? We must harvest millions of Christmas trees every year, which could be actually benefiting us and taking in more CO2 and producing more oxygen. And you tell them these things, and they walk away and say you're a conspiracy theorist. They won't answer the questions. When we come out of this commercial break, we're going to talk more about this debunking, this man-made global warming. My guest tonight is Kurt Stroecker, calling in from California. Stay tuned. We got more to come.
The world on you depends. Our life will never end. Gotta love your man.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste by going to rbnhemppaste.com. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Riders on the storm, riders on the storm, into this house we're born, into this world we're thrown, like a dog without a bone, and packed her out alone, riders on the storm.
Welcome back. This is the National Anti-Terror Report. Yes, Riders in the Storm. We're talking about the weather. We are talking to our special guest tonight, Kurt Stroiker from California here, debunking man-made global warming. And I'm very pleased to have Kurt on the show today to talk about the real science here. We talk about it, some hosts more than others, but we've got the information. We got the true expert here tonight, Kurt Stroiker. Kurt, you and I talked earlier. Again, we've been fed a lot of lies and a lot of fear propaganda. And I'm going back to my youth here. I remember as a young man, I think I may remember this probably in my teenage years, the false narrative that our Amazon rainforest
were being torn down on a daily basis of 5,000 acres a day. And you start doing the math, and you start to think after a while, after a year or two, do we have any more Amazon rainforest? How important that is to have the Amazon rainforest for ecological. And you and I were laughing about this, but it's true. It's one of those things that's thrown out there, and nobody seemed to question that. And that narrative, that kind of went away for a while, but as I understand, doing the math, we should have no Amazon rainforest anymore, and we should have already heated the planet up and burned up. We should be a matchstick right now, toast.
Well,
but it hasn't happened.
You go back just a few years, like when I was young. I don't know how old you are, but I'm almost 60. And back in those days, they were talking about the Ice Age.
Yeah.
Okay, so the coming Ice Age, you had these skyscrapers, pictures on Newsweek and U.S. News World Report and Time Magazine of coming Ice Age, and it was this whole fear thing. And see, the curators were able to maintain total control. But see, with the internet, things are breaking loose. That's why they got to censor the internet. That's one of the things why the internet is too wild. That's why they don't like people like me. You know how many times I've gotten videos? I've had hundreds of videos deleted offline. Hundreds. And the reason why? I'm too controversial. I have misinformation. It's like, no, it didn't fit the narrative. You see, these fact checkers have these AIs now doing all the fact checking. And they basically, oh, yeah, you've got a strike against you. Bingo, bombo, boombo. You have no more channel. You're done. I've had lost three Facebook pages and at least two YouTubes. And I've lost even Twitter, a couple of Twitters, three or four of the Twitters. This is censorship. And this is what they don't want you to know. Because if you know history, you know climate change is real. You just go back. You know, even the fake narratives of the coming Ice Age, right? But there was an Ice Age in the past. We go back and look at the Great Ice Age, where there was animals frozen in their tracks with food in their stomachs. And we dig them up, you know, frozen solid in tundra. And we go, wait a minute, that happened quickly. That was a climate change that you can't believe how that happened. Well, I can get into that. It's basically volcanism blocking the sun. I'll just leave it at that. Lots of water. To have an ice age, you need warm oceans and cold continents. Cold continents come through volcanism blocking the sun. Okay, let's just leave it at that. But my point is, we've had how many great ice age? We had one great ice age. We've had too many ice ages. And of course, punctuated with the Roman warming period and the medieval warming period. And now we're coming out of the little ice age. So of course, glaciers come and go. They recede and they go back. This has been going on for years. That's how you get mountains. That's how you get, you know, Yosemite Valley, where you had 9,000 feet of ice just 4,000 years ago in that valley. Now, that's going to carve a lot of canyon. And that's why there's a river there. That's why there's the Yosemite Valley. But see, how that ice get there? They had to block the sun, because the sun is critical. And if you have warm oceans kicking out lots of water, like the formation of, say, Hawaii, the islands of Hawaii had to come somewhere, right? They were kicking up all kinds of magma hitting the oceans, thus sending out steam, plumes of steam going over the continents, dumping tons of water, so much so that we even had a mile deep of ice in Chicagoland, Detroitland, the Great Lakes. A mile deep, that's climate change. And that wasn't that long ago. Now listen, this is what people don't understand. Greece, they were during the mini ice age, and they couldn't go north. It was too frozen. Greenland was green at one time during the Roman warming period and medieval warming period. And guess what? It was green for a good reason. It grew stuff. But then another ice age comes through and is blanketed with ice. We've had a number of those. That happens not through cow farts or human farts or any other kind of fart. It doesn't come through carbon dioxide. Carbon dioxide is a colorless, odorless, tasteless gas necessary for everything, and the more of it, the better. I want more carbon dioxide. That's one of the best, one of the upsides of cars. We get more carbon dioxide. Not much, doesn't do much, but still, it's one little upside. Plants benefit. We can use more.
Well, John Coleman in those videos, at least the first video, talked about the cycles of the sun, and that's probably one of the most important pieces of this puzzle here, the importance of the sun when it comes down to weather fluctuation, hot and cold. And I kidded around with somebody that actually bought into all this garbage of CO2, rising CO2 levels is changing the thermodynamics of the sun. I said, "Are you serious? You can't." So the CO2 rises up and changes. I can't remember how far the sun is away from us here on planet Earth, but there was a stupid belief that the CO2 is somehow affecting the thermodynamics of the sun, which is possible.
The only thing that it could do is hold heat. Guess how long carbon dioxide holds heat? Because it's a greenhouse gas. It's an amazing greenhouse gas. It holds heat for about 3 seconds while the sun is touching it. Now, if the sun rays are not off it, you lose it. Now, here's a case in point. Back in, let's see, it was August of 2017, the great eclipse went from Salem, Oregon, all the way across down to Salem, north, or was it South Carolina? So it went all the way across the world, or the nation there, and left a shadow just for a few minutes. My friend was up there above Denver, and he was there looking at it. And he was in a T-shirt, whether it was August, it was a beautiful sunny day, plenty of warmth. And the sun was blocked by the moon. It dropped from 80 degrees to 65 degrees within seconds. Yeah. And guess what? The reason why is because there's not a lot of water vapor up there. Because the water vapor holds heat longer and more efficiently. When you get rid of the sun, carbon dioxide loses heat instantly. Within seconds, within 10 seconds, they're going, man, I got to chill. I was wearing a T-shirt, now I got to get a sweater. Because it went from 80 to 60. That's a quick jump. That's like jumping in from the sauna into a cold pool, you know. So that in and of itself tells you carbon dioxide is not even a player insofar as an actual greenhouse gas. Thank God we have water vapor and we have enough of it. And we get more of it when we get an El Nino. That's when we get more carbon dioxide because the oceans degas and emit more carbon dioxide. And then life emits gas. You know, life happens and it makes more gas. Decomposition to breathing, you know, our own ATP produces carbon dioxide in our own cells. So without plants, we're done. And the happier the plant, the better off. And that's why the greening of the earth during a warming period is best. England grew grapes during the Roman warming period. So they're not known for their great wines these days in England, no. But, you know, they'd be scrawny little grapes, wouldn't do much. But here in Sonoma County, where I am, wine country, yeah. Beautiful, you know?
I used to live there. I lived there for almost 10 years.
Oh, that's right.
Right around the corner. I used to live in Windsor. Yeah.
Okay, perfect, yeah. But you see my point about the weather and the it changed, and it changed, and there's nothing we could have done about it. But you know what? We adapt. We improvise. We overcome. We're humans. We put on more clothes. We take off some clothes. We get different types of clothes. Like, you know, this is the comparison I like to use when comparing water vapor with carbon dioxide. Pretend water vapor is a big, huge down jacket, and you have, you know, long johns that are down, and you're outside in the Canadian winter. That's water vapor keeping you warm. That's the earth keeping you warm. Now, if the earth didn't have any water vapor and only had carbon dioxide as our greenhouse gas, if only a scant bit, I can say 90% of the world's greenhouse gases, or 95% is water vapor, 5% is only carbon dioxide. Say we take that weak, doesn't hold heat very long. Basically, imagine it being a fishnet. Wear that in a Canadian winter and see if you're going to stay warm. You're not. You're going to freeze to death, hypothermia. It doesn't even play. Anyone with any thermodynamic sense would realize carbon dioxide is not even a player in climate change, except that it goes up when it gets warmer. It follows. It's the thermometer, not the thermostat of our atmosphere.
Well, I'd have to agree in that clip with John Coleman that at 20 years from now, and he was kind of an old guy, but if he's still around with us, he's going to be laughing quite hard, because he is absolutely correct on all his comments on global warming. That's it's man-made. It's no truth to it. He's debunked it using real science. Yes, there is temperature fluctuation. We're going to always have temperature fluctuation, which brings me back to the humor side of, and I got to poke fun at these people that really buy into this nonsense of that the planet is heating up and that we're all responsible. Our carbon footprint is causing it. Going back to a cartoon by Gary Larson on the Far Side, showing why the dinosaurs really died off, is that they're standing there smoking a cigarette, and
exactly.
That's what killed the dinosaurs, you know. But in all seriousness, You know, you're bringing great science here to the show tonight, and
Ironically,
I believe what you can prove, and you can prove it. So,
the dinosaurs. There was an article written years ago. You can look this up. It was methane. They were killed off by their own farts, dinosaur farts. They actually said they had an article about that. Their own flatulence got it. They nailed them. And that's the lesson we need to learn. That's why Beano, you know, we got to go that route. But, you know, isn't that nonsense? See, they will get you to believe anything as long as there's a peer review like John Cook. 97% of climate scientists say man-made global warming is real. When in actuality, when you read the article, it didn't even say that.
Right.
It said 97% of one-third. See, there was 12,000 papers reviewed over a period of 15 years. And they said, okay, they didn't look at anything but the abstract. The abstract was read, and they say, was it climate change man-made or global warming man-made? Global warming, we don't know. Global warming, no, was not man-made. And it was 50, it was 30%. It was 33 and a third, each one of them, basically. And then of the third 97%, you see, when you read the actual abstract of John Cook's paper, it wasn't, and again, no one judged their science. No one looked at anything. They just said, hey, these are papers. There weren't a lot of papers from people that I know. I know a lot of scientists. As a matter of fact, no one that I know knows, that I actually do science with, believes that man-made global warming is real. Some have a little bit of, you know, less understanding of it, but nonetheless, the ones that I know that are religious about it are teachers. Yeah. Professors. I had a professor I was having lunch with, one of my old buddies, and he was saying you have to understand that methane and carbon dioxide are powerful gases. And I've only thought about one powerful gas that my dog made. That was pretty powerful, but that's not carbon dioxide. And the nonsense of such a statement when you look at the thermodynamics, there's not enough of it to drive climate.
Exactly.
And our
By the way, did you turn him around? Did you get him on the right track and understanding that the fraud of this?
You know, he doesn't budge. It's interesting because he's a professor. He just say, I've been saying it so long, I've been teaching the lie so long, I'm not going to recant now. He's scared. Matter of fact, I think that's why he doesn't recant, because he would be a laughing stock. Because it's all about intimidation. It's about hyperbole. Oh, you're a science denier. Hey, I believe in climate change more than you, and I can prove it. You know?
Right. Well, I have the same situation in medicine with people who bought into the COVID nonsense, you know, and now we just had explosion of a video from a Pfizer representative here talking about gain of function. They call it now something else, directed evolution or serial passage, as Dr. Robert Malone would call it. And so all the suspicions we ever had that this was going on is true. And, you know, here's the video. The guy's blabbermouthing because he's a little bit intoxicated here. So everything we know is true. That we suspected is true. And it's kind of the same situation here with this situation here of global warming, human-caused global warming, is that some people, I don't know, they're just pretty much stuck on stupid, Kurt, and I don't know why they can't say, you know what, they sold me on something, and now I've done my homework, I've found out the truth. I feel a little silly, but you know what, I'm not going to continue on with believing the lie. There's nothing wrong with saying I got fooled once, but I'm not going to get fooled twice. And so come clean and say I'm now understanding the truth, the true science of what we're talking about here.
Well, what we have here, just like with COVID, is a psyop, a psychological operation.
Yes.
It didn't go to the level of mass psychosis, you know, but almost. I mean, kids are there. It's just enough rational people going, I'd rather just drive my cars, you know. But you get the kids, they are so gung-ho climate change evangelists. They are, you know, they're a religious duty is to do something. And that's the scary thing, because freedom is thought. You don't have freedom unless you have freedom of thought.
Right.
And words. Words carry thoughts. Without freedom of speech, we have no freedom whatsoever. And just as a quick FYI, that's why we have the Second Amendment, is to protect other amendments.
That's right.
There's no other reason why to have it but to protect ourselves and our freedoms, full stop, from a tyrannical government, which is becoming more and more. Look at what they're doing up there in the northern part of the world here with Canada. Trudeau was a total tyrant. Look who he pays homage to, Klaus Schwab.
Exactly.
Whereas Klaus Schwab do? He sits there and determines policy from a little place called Davos with all his rich friends that fly in, and they're going to use climate change to brainwash us.
Exactly.
And they're just going to keep doing it because it's all it is. It's brainwashing and believing what we're told without critical thinking, without any thought.
Yeah, well, they were pretty smart in recruiting the youth. They know that you and I are smart enough. A lot of us, we figured out the fraud on many different things, COVID, the fraud of global warming, human-caused global warming. So they concentrated, well, you know what, we'll just focus on the children. And it also goes along with the LGBTQ agenda, you know, the trans agenda. They know the mind of the child is easily disrupted, and they can simply brainwash, indoctrinate the children. They'll say, you old folks will be gone someday, and the children are the future, and so we're going to focus on the children. I mean, this was scripted so well.
Yes, it was.
And people
totally
like using Greta Thunberg to bring it in. Amazing.
Well, see, you can't attack down. See, if I attack her, then I'm a bad person. You see, you can't punch down. You know what? If someone's attacking me, I got to attack back. And so I will always point out truth. I love your bumper music, by the way. I love The Doors.
Riders on the Storm, The Doors. Love it.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, stay tuned, everybody. We still have another over an hour here. We're going to close phone lines for the first hour. We'll open up here in just a little bit, 10 minutes. But my special guest, Kurt Stroeker in California here, talking about debunking man-made global warming. Stay tuned for more.
Which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Anymore, Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Honestly, this stuff works. Nick, easy to take capsules. For those who can't handle the liquid drops, easy to take Extendivite capsules do the same job. Karoka Fam, works great. Like Extendivite very much. Seems to work as advertised. Thanks. Arlene, 5 stars. Love this product, Extendivite. Terry W., 5 stars. Can't say enough. Great product. Freya, 5 stars. I just ordered another. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Keep on running.
That was a good bumper choice for Michael. Word up, Michael, my producer. Red Skies at Night, The Fix. Kurt Stroeker, I'm looking back at, I've noticed that the Weather Channel has extended their reach of expertise. Of course, they're always about weather, and they're talking about all kinds of different weather phenomenon. They're now adding COVID, by the way, and of course, they're the experts on everything. But I'm looking
over
some
money.
I'm looking over some of the terminology that's which is the language that brings fear, promotes fear, and benefits certainly benefits the climate change agenda, which John Coleman is speaking the truth about, just the opposite of the Weather Channel itself. But I look at these terms here: the snow stormageddon, bomb cyclone, atmospheric river in California here, which you guys are just experiencing, tornadic activity, El Nino, La Nina. The language that's always on the side of fear to promote the agenda of human-caused global warming. Jeez, they're playing this up pretty damn good. What do you think?
Yeah, well, you know, Pineapple Express doesn't instill fear, but a atmospheric cyclone bomb river does. You know, the yeah. Pineapple Express is what we called it for years, because that's when you get a nice low pressure zone just flowing right up from the from that big huge oceanic river that's called the high pressure zone, low pressure zones of our tropical, which kicks out a lot of that water. That water just came funneling straight up, just like sometimes we have a funnel of cold air coming straight down to Texas, freezing those things off. And then a week later, it's like, hey, we didn't even know that we had that kind of cold. We were like nearly dead. But now it's back to normal. We get those fluctuations. This is what happens. Like with an ice age. When you have the Great Ice Age, you trapped animals for not just for a cold spell. No, they died in this freezing cold, and they didn't have a chance. And that's how quickly these things happen, especially when you have a lot of volcanism blocking the sun. That's what happens. You remember Mount St. Helena?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh,
up
yeah.
here in Santa Rosa? Well, what about Mount St. Helens? May 18th, 1980. Right. Mount St. Helens blew its top, and that yep. that made that plowed a course for me in geology. I studied geology nonstop from that point on in the 80s. But my point is this: that cloud of ash went all the way to Maine in less than 3 days, and it was pitch black, dark underneath it. There wasn't a bit of sun getting through. Noontime, right. it was streetlights right. on, just like it was midnight, and it was a little dirty. But it was yep. a lot colder too, because there's no sun
sure,
getting through.
Sure. Sure. Yeah, I actually have in my studio, I have a sample. I have a sample in my studio here of the Mount St. Helens eruption.
Oh, yeah,
I have a little,
right,
little
yeah.
canister. I don't know where I got it from, but I got that in the mug itself to, you know, to
well,
remember.
Yeah.
The
I
remember
right
it so
there.
Well. Yeah, I remember
educational
it so well.
Capitalism.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you see,
all right,
that's
well, we got a second anyway. Hour coming up here in a second. Here, a short commercial break. My special guest for the 2 hours is Mr. Stroeker. And we are talking about the weather. Yes, we're talking about the weather and debunking man-made global warming. Your calls coming in the second hour, 512-248-8252. That's 512-248-8252. I want to hear what you've got to say. The weather affects us all. Stay tuned. Second hour coming up. The National Intel. Stay tuned.
We must take America back.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With a Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home. The Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream, or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, All you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.